Welcome to the weekend, everyone. This is the Lazy Bums Podcast, episode 30. We made it to 30, all the way from 20 to 30. It only took us a year.
Another big milestone, baby.
And we're back with another episode. Today, we're going to talk first about some headlines that have grabbed us. And then after the ad read, we're going to get into some NFL football, because that's finally back. And then we're going to talk about what we've all been watching over these last few weeks. The NBA playoffs.
And most importantly, the Celtics going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Not quite in faux.
Yeah. But it was a little harder than four games. But to be fair, though, it was one OG game winner away from going four.
It was a pretty crazy shot.
Yeah, it was.
First, we're going to start talking about probably the most controversial thing that's come out of sports in the last few weeks. And that's the hiring of Steve Nash as head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. The Nets obviously fired their previous coach a little earlier. There was some talk about Popovich coming to Brooklyn.
No way.
I don't know if anyone took any credence in that. But it was out there. I mean, that was an idea that a bunch of people were talking about. I thought it was pretty ridiculous. But they went with Steve Nash, ultimately. And there's a lot of mixed opinions about it. How do you yourself feel about that news?
I honestly know that a lot of people are really like not big fans of it, but I kind of am. Like, I think Steve Nash is a really good basketball mind. You know, he's good basketball IQ. He just knows the game. He's played for a long time. And he was a really good like coach on the court when he was a player, and so I hopefully he's a good coach actually. This is kind of a jump that we've seen a lot of players make recently, from like former point guards with no coaching experience to becoming NBA head coaches. You look at guys like Mark Jackson, Jason Kidd, even Steve Kerr.
Right.
It's not super far-fetched. And I think that like the notion that like a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, like this is crazy. Like out of nowhere. Like, why would they hire this dude with no coaching experience? Like, what? This has happened before. Like, this has been happening. And I think the reaction to this is a little overblown.
Right. I mean, obviously, I love Steve Nash. He was a phenomenal player. And he has a lot of experience. I mean, he played in the league into his 40s. He played for a variety of teams.
Two-time MVP.
Yeah, zero-time champion.
Okay, well, he played for the Suns, so cut him some slack. He was running into Kobe Bryant every year. It's kind of tough.
Yeah. And I truthfully, I am very excited to see what he does as head coach of the Nets, especially with that star-studded roster that they have. Apparently, he's developed pretty good relationships with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn already, which is a good sign. And I'm trying to look at this from a positive light, and a lot of people are very upset about it. And the main reason for that is, in these times, obviously, it's pretty sensitive, the topic of race in terms of favoritism, especially in sports in America. And I think that, you know, it is certainly not the first time we've seen an inexperienced player come out and get a head coaching job. But I think the main thing that has turned up a lot of ears is the fact that there are a lot of coaches that are on the market in the NBA currently. And not only that, but there are a lot of very, very qualified African-American coaches in the market that the Nets could have gone with over an inexperienced guy like Steve Nash.
Yeah, I get that. But I just feel like if he bonds well with the players and the players like him as a coach, I don't think it really matters. Like, I
don't think it matters in terms of going forward or the Nets' success or anything like that. I'm just saying that I understand the kind of reaction about him. I think it was just coming from a place of not really understanding why he would get the job over guys like Ty Lue, who are championship winning coaches. And like the first thing that kind of comes to mind, like, I mean, nowadays, like I said, is race. I mean, like, that's the difference that a lot of people first went to. And that seems to be one of the only real differences in terms of the other options that were out there.
Yeah, I get that, but I still think Steve Nash is not a bad hire for this organization.
I don't think anyone's trying to say that it's a bad hire, and I don't think that anyone's upset for the reason of, like, that'll blow it up or that he's not going to be a success. I think that the main thing is that other guys were passed up, and it seems like there might have been some sort of racial discrimination, I guess.
Yeah, I mean I'm sure that I obviously like he skipped a couple rungs in the ladder that there on the other side of that there are a lot of black coaches that have gone through those rungs and they deserve to be coaches and they're completely well qualified and everything, but I really do think at the end of the day like if the players like the dude like hire him regardless and Kyrie and
And
KD are big fans of him.
I'm sure that him getting the Nets job is not going to disqualify guys like Ty Lue and Chauncey Billups. I don't think that's going to make it any harder for them to get the jobs that they want to get. I just think that the Nets had a vision. Steve Nash worked with that vision, and the rest is history. I think that it was more in terms of what they needed, rather than, like, we want a white guy instead of a black guy,
Yeah, I think that's a little bit blown out of proportion. I mean,
Maybe so, but I'm just saying, like, I understand the reaction, especially when there's overqualified guys out there.
yeah, for sure. For sure.
But I'm excited to see what Nash does, and I'm also excited to see where these other guys go, because obviously there's been a lot of coaching turnover so far in this staff signing period. Billy Donovan was fired as coach for the Thunder.
Good riddance. He sucks.
He does. But and I think something that I've kind of been thinking about for the last few years, and it seems like it might happen, if not this year, then I think next year, I think we might see the first female head coach in the NBA in the next few years.
Yeah, for sure. I think that that might happen pretty soon, honestly. I agree with you on that. I think that but I also don't know. Like I feel like that also might be a struggle, just because, the way things are and people aren't always open to changing. Like people aren't used to having women coaches and so, the NBA though
I
is a
think
very accepting league, so I
exactly. I
feel like
think
it
that the
would.
NBA is making huge strides in terms of inclusivity, and that would be the next big step, I think, in anyone's mind. And I think that Adam Silver has taken an attitude of, we're going to do what needs to be done to right some wrongs, and whoever is not on board with that can stop watching the NBA.
Yeah.
And
It's
I
definitely
think
not
that's
something
that.
you would see in the NFL.
No, not any day, especially not with Goodell.
Yeah.
But I think that the position that Silver's taken on that is the right position to take. And even if it, costs him some brownie points, I think that he's making the right move. And I think that, especially if there's a new, if there's a female head coach, especially now, that would make huge waves in the sporting world, especially in America.
Yeah, for sure. I think that it would just. I think that that's the direction that we should be headed. Like, if someone is qualified to be a head coach, they should get hired regardless of if
Right.
they're a man or a woman or whatever, you know.
The reason that came to mind is because I heard that the Thunder are interested in giving Becky Hammond, an assistant in San Antonio, an interview for the head coaching spot in Oklahoma City.
Wow, that'd be really interesting. I would love to see it, honestly.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that she was assistant coach under Pop before Tim Duncan came in. And so, I think that she might be looking for a higher ranking, because Timmy's stepped in and taken that assistant coach. He's probably going to be the next head coach of the Spurs. So I think that someone as qualified as Becky Hammond could definitely be on the head coaching market. in the next few years.
Yeah, and being under Popovich's wing is definitely an advantage.
Certainly.
You know, one of the greatest coaches ever. She's probably always in his ear and everything, you know,
Yeah.
learning from him and stuff. So, I mean, she's definitely qualified, and if she became a head coach in the NBA, I'd love to see it.
Right, and I think there are a lot of qualified, very, very qualified women out there that could definitely handle a head coaching job in the NBA. Even in the NFL, I mean, we've seen the 49ers defensive coordinator is a woman, and she led one of the best defenses in the league last year.
Yeah, but I don't think that the NFL is at the point where they would hire a female head coach. I feel like
Well, I mean, come on. Like, the NFL can barely get behind changing the name of the Redskins.
yeah, the
Like,
NFL can barely get behind the players locking arms together at the center of the field rather than kneeling for the anthem. They still got
God.
booed at Arrowhead last night.
I know that's ridiculous. I mean, it's absolutely insane to see that, especially now.
God, those Chiefs fans are so obnoxious and they just make me hate the Chiefs even more. And it's like, you guys suck, man. Everyone in Kansas City, you guys suck.
The next headline that we wanted to talk about comes from a kind of an outlier in the sporting world, but it's something that we've sunk a lot of time into and are very interested in. And it was really refreshing to see that there were two professional disc golf highlights on SportsCenter this afternoon.
Yeah, crazy.
Kevin Jones, who, if you don't know, we'll get into this in more detail in the future. We would love to talk about disc golf more and more on the podcast. But there's a professional disc golfer by the name of Kevin Jones, who is a 21-year-old phenom in the disc golf world. He threw a disc 530 feet directly into a basket, which is.
It doesn't sound that crazy, but man, if you have thrown a disc before,
It sounds pretty crazy. Throwing something 530 feet into what? A 2.5 foot window?
yeah, I guess it is pretty small.
That is insane. Like, that is an insane achievement. And obviously, people feel that way because it was on SportsCenter. It was on R Sports. It had like, 60,000 upvotes on R Sports. It's a ridiculous thing to see. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend you look it up on YouTube. It is absolutely insane.
Yeah, he literally falls off the tee pad and looks like he tore his ACL and his MCL and his PCL. And he gets up and kind of shakes it off, and his disc drops in the basket. And it's incredible.
Yeah, Kevin Jones, he ended up taking the most recent disc golf tournament on Jomez Pro, the kind of official professional disc golf YouTube channel. He shot 37 under over 3 rounds of disc golf.
Yeah, which is just ridiculous. I mean,
That's a monumentous achievement. Like that, like he, the fact that he did that in the competition of people like Paul McBeth and James Conrad, people that are older guys, kind of guys that he probably looked up to when he first started, and he overshot him by quite a wide margin. I think it was a huge day for Kevin,
it
and
really was. He
he has so
showed.
much potential.
Yeah, he just showed a lot of class. You know, he had a big lead headed into the final day, and that last day, you know, it would have been really easy to just say, okay, like I can play kind of a shabby round and, you know, I have this cushion. But he went out there and he just attacked, and it was great to see him all weekend because he was just always in attack mode and getting birdies on like every hole. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, and something that I really love to see is that they had the players mic'd up for those rounds, the rounds that he was on, and like they played a lot of his reactions after his shots and other people's shots, and he just seems like a class act. Like, he seems like an absolutely amazing person, and like it would be a joy to be on the course with Kevin Jones. It must be amazing to play with him.
Yeah, for sure. But
Just to see what he does, and I just he's such a fair and humble competitor.
yeah, for sure. He definitely seems like someone that I would want to be homies with. Like I would be cool with
Yeah.
Kevin Jones, you know.
Yeah, and I think that if he became the next face of disc golf, like that would be, he would be very fitting for that role.
Yeah, former football player, and it's just another thing that another way that we've seen disc golf grow in just the last couple of months. I mean, the last Pro Tour event was aired on the CBS Sports Network, and now we're seeing them being posted on SportsCenter and stuff like that. And you know, while it is still kind of a small sport, it is growing rapidly, like every single day.
Absolutely. And as it grows, you know, it's really a lot of fun to be a part of it, you know, like to see these guys play their tournaments and it get more and more exposure. You know, like I said, seeing Kevin Jones and Paul McBeth. I mean, Paul McBeth answered Kevin Jones with an ace of his own today. Seeing both of those guys featured on ESPN, it was really cool to see.
Yeah, just I watch those and I'm like, oh, like let me go out to the course and throw a couple shots like that, and it never pans out as well for some reason. Don't know why,
Well, they're professionals for a reason, man.
but
And you know, as professional disc golf grows, we really do want to cover it. And if anyone's interested, I mean, we do want to talk more about disc golf. Disc golf is a growing sport, and I guarantee you, if you give it the effort and you try to get into it and you watch disc golf, you will get into it. It's
yeah.
not that hard, man. It's a very fun sport to watch.
Yeah, and it's super easy to pick up too. You just kind of fling a round
Yeah,
thing
you
at
can go
a.
out to your local course and buy a few discs and play yourself. Like it, in terms of relating to the sport, it's the most relatable sport for me.
Yeah, for sure. It's
You know, because
also
like I'm
very
never
laid
gonna be an
back.
NBA basketball player. I'm never gonna be an NFL football player. And you know, even golf, like regular golf, ball golf, you can watch golf and say, you know, I want to go out on the course, and then you have to spend like $50 to play a round of golf. But if you watch disc golf and you say you want to get out on the course, you can just go to your course.
Yeah, you just hop in your car and you start playing.
It's a great sport, and again, we do really want to cover it on the podcast. Let us know if you'd like to hear more about professional disc
Literally, if anyone does, we will make
golf.
a
We will
singular
do it.
podcast just for you.
Definitely. One listener. As long as we have that one listener.
Yeah, as long as we have someone to bounce all of this stuff off of.
And with that being said, we are going to take a short break to talk about our sponsor.
So I want to get back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, which is the whole incident that happened at the beginning of the game at Arrowhead. So we saw these. So it seems like the NFL, kind of in their weak compromise with the players who were kneeling during the anthem, they came up with this idea that all of the players on both teams would line up in the middle of the field and lock arms. And they have like a moment of silence, and they put Black Lives Matter on all the like jumbotrons or whatever, which is it is kind of just a charade because obviously they don't care. They won't even give their own players a voice, which they so desperately deserve. And so like anyway, this goes on at the first game, and you hear nothing but boos from all the fans at Arrowhead during this moment of silence. And it's just so crazy that this is still such a, like, this movement still has so much resistance from normal people who watch these guys play every day and cheer them on. Like, man, it's crazy.
I just don't understand, you know, because if you're a supporter of a football team, obviously you support the players, and the players are the ones that are spearheading this movement. I mean, it's obviously not coming from upper management. It's
Yeah,
obviously
Roger
not
Goodell
coming
doesn't
from the
want this to
commissioner side.
happen.
You know, it's coming from the players, and like especially the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs have been very, very vocal in this time, and they painted in their end zones, they painted End Racism, a bunch of messages supporting this movement. And it's crazy. It's totally backwards to see fans of a team this vocal about racism
In the negative
completely just
sense.
lose support.
Yeah, I mean,
for their team.
how can you like cheer these guys on and not care about what goes on with them outside of football? It's so hard to see things like that because these people are literally like these players are playing for these fans and like what do you don't actually care about the players, clearly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, despite the fact that they have very little support from their fan base, the Chiefs did manage to get a win over the strong-looking
Man, they
Texans,
should have
and
just gotten blown out just to piss off their fans. Man, you Kansas City people.
but it, I mean, it was great to see. It was great to see football come back. How do you
Yeah, for
feel
sure.
about kind of do you did you notice any differences really in terms of, you know, the comeback of the NFL?
I mean, it was a little like odd to see that big of gaps in the stadium and stuff like that, but
Yeah.
for the most part, I mean, it looked like a football game. Like I was very pleased with kind of how it all went down. Regarding the Texans, I think it was really, really obvious that they missed DeAndre Hopkins. Obviously, like we knew they were going to, but I mean, there were
Yeah.
times where Deshaun Watson would throw these balls to Will Fuller, and if it was DeAndre Hopkins, he would have caught it. But because it was Will Fuller, he didn't catch it. And so,
Yeah.
you know, you gotta surround your young, really promising quarterback with some talent. And clearly, the Texans are not doing that.
Well, I mean, we saw the Texans bring in David Johnson from Arizona in part of that Hopkins trade, and they utilized him in game one. I think that that might be their main look offensively is just the run game. I mean, obviously Deshaun Watson is killer on the ground. He has, you know, legs for days. I think an option game between him and David Johnson would be pretty unstoppable in terms of a ground game, especially in the AFC.
I think that the Texans' best bet, though, is to let Deshaun Watson air it out and play through him, really. And, you know, he really traded away his like main dude. Like they were really great together, and DeAndre
Yeah.
Hopkins was like arguably one of the best receivers in the NFL last season. So, I mean, how can you get rid of a guy like that?
Well, I mean, that's just kind of the history of the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, what is Bill O'Brien doing back there? Those are two guys that if I was a head coach or a GM, like I would definitely want to build my team around those two guys. You know, they're
Yeah.
franchise cornerstones. And the fact that you traded one of them away, like, what are you doing? Who are you trying to get that's better than him? There's like one dude, and I just don't understand.
Well, even without Hop, man, I really enjoyed the game. One thing that I noticed comparing the NFL restart to the NBA restart is that I noticed a lot less rust on the NFL players. Like it seemed like they were ready to play, they were trained, and you know, they got out there and they started firing on all cylinders. Whereas in the NBA, like you saw a lot of big mistakes
Bums.
at guys that were guys that were really just not fit at all, and a lot of rust coming from the NBA players, at least in the first few games of the bubble. But in the NFL, I didn't see that, or at least not in this first game.
That's definitely a good point, but you also have to remember that the NBA did kind of set the blueprint for all of these leagues and their
Yeah.
restarts. So I think once the NBA did it, the NFL kind of got an idea of, okay, like this is what we can do and this is what we should do and you know how to
Right.
proceed with their season, so it definitely helped to have that time.
Yeah, and I think that the NBA is, again, they have done the best job of doing a restart with coronavirus and with the Black Lives Matter movement. That being said, though, I'm excited to see what the NFL season holds. They've been conducting a lot of tests. I mean, they've been testing anyone from, you know, starting quarterback to ball boy. They've tested everyone in every facility. And I saw a stat in the game that said that they tested something like 670 people, and you know, there were only five positive tests, which is pretty solid.
Yeah, I guess so, but I still think that the best way to handle all this stuff would be a bubble, but Again,
It's kind of impossible with the NFL, especially doing a full season.
yeah, for sure. And we discussed this on one of the earlier episodes this season, but it's a lot easier having 11 guys that play in the NBA, like on your NBA team, as compared to a whole like 64-man roster in the
Right.
NFL.
And I
Like,
mean it's also a lot easier to do, 8 games and then the playoffs, rather than a full season.
yeah,
Or
absolutely.
even, a half of a season.
Yeah, because you also got to remember that, well, I guess they could change it to where they could see their families, but again,
Yeah.
that puts more risk with, popping the
Right.
bubble, so to say.
Well, I mean, I think that the NFL, they've just been on kind of the forefront of the technology when it comes to testing and just being aware of their situation with COVID. And I think they'll handle it at least better than the MLB, probably.
Yeah, I hope so, but I could also see them completely fumbling and just being awful because Roger Goodell sucks and NFL management sucks, and that's
Yeah.
what we've come to expect.
Well, with the first game said and done, Chiefs win, and they're looking pretty strong. Travis Kelce's looking strong. Pat Mahomes looks like he hasn't lost any of that touch. Excited to see what they do. Could be looking at another Super Bowl run. But we're looking ahead. The other games in the week, we have the game of the week, which is the Saints facing off against the Buccaneers.
And
Obviously,
I
very
am
exciting
licking
game
my
for many
chops.
reasons.
I am licking my chops for this game. It's gonna be so
Just
good.
you just excited to see Brady play?
Yeah, well, I just like we're gonna get to see this matchup twice a season, and that is so awesome. Two of the greatest
Yeah.
quarterbacks of our generation just going head to head, man. You can't ask for anything better than that.
It's gonna be great, man. I'm very excited for those matchups. Drew Brees, obviously an insane talent. Thought about retiring. He actually confirmed his retirement and then canceled it or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know.
and then got dragged because of his comments about police brutality and
Yeah.
all that stuff.
Yeah, well, that it's kind of
That's
tough.
why we cheering for Tom Brady, bro, 'cause no one wants that dude to win.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't think I'm ever gonna cheer for the Buccaneers, but
Yeah, so you cheering for Drew Brees, really?
no, I'm not cheering for
Yeah.
anyone. I really don't. The only thing I care about is watching Tom Brady play. I mean, really, I don't care what jersey he's wearing. He's a joy to watch.
Yeah, he absolutely is. The way that he plays the quarterback position is the way that they should write it in textbooks. Like, this is how you play. Do you know what I mean? Like, he is the standard. And I'm really curious to see how he does without Belichick because, as we both know, there's always that argument like, oh, Brady's a system quarterback. He'd be nothing without Belichick. Well, Brady this season kind of said, let me show you what I can do. And now he's at a Tampa Bay team that looks pretty loaded on offense. I mean,
Oh God, stacked on offense.
yeah. I mean, if you got any of those dudes on your fantasy team this year, you're looking real good, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's something that I really wanted to ask you about. When I was drafting my fantasy team and I was looking at Tampa Bay wide receivers and obviously Gronk at tight end, I was kind of conflicted because I really couldn't nail down who his main target's going to be.
Yeah, it's I think it's either going to be Godwin or Mike Evans. I think those are the two. But from
But
there,
that's the
I
thing. Like,
really
you
don't
can't,
know.
you don't, like, you don't, you never know with Brady, Like, if someone starts dropping passes, he's not going to throw to them as much.
But I
And
think that.
there's also the fact that he's going to be with Gronk again.
Yeah, that's true. And we know that Gronk has always been one of Brady's favorite targets. But I think
Yeah,
that.
I
I
mean,
think.
and Gronk is off a year, and he's old and he's injured, and but he could not he could just be another guy who has played too long and he's a little bummy. But do you think that that's going to deter Brady from throwing to him?
I don't think so. I think that it seems like they still have a really good relationship, and I haven't seen anything that's been like that seems like Gronk maybe can't play or like isn't quite healthy enough to be back. So I
Yeah.
guess that's just something that we have to wait for. But in terms of receivers, I think that I feel like Brady really finds comfort in the slot, and I think for that reason, Godwin will probably be more of his favorite target. I mean, just looking at Jules and, you know, Amendola, those guys.
Yeah, Welker. I mean, there's a long history of him throwing to the slot and doing it effectively. And Godwin is obviously a great receiver. But, like, I just, like, when I think about Tom Brady, I think about efficiency. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like if he's throwing to a guy and that guy is not making catches and is dropping passes or, you know, blowing routes, Brady's not going to throw to that guy much more. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, he's hunting for the guy who's catching the ball the most, getting the most yards, you know, yards after the catch. He's really about that. He's about getting the most out of his team in the least amount of time.
Yeah.
So he throws to the guys that are going to catch the ball and advance the ball. That's just how he plays. That's how he's been effective. That's how he became the greatest quarterback of all time, is just being efficient, throwing to guys that he knows are going to advance the ball and score a touchdown. And so I think with a new team, you know, he's going to need to just figure that all out again, especially with a new offensive scheme, you know, it's just completely new.
Yeah, I agree with that. But everything that I've read and everything that I've seen seems like he's transitioning really well. And, like, when you're learning a new system, what really helps is to have guys that can help you that are Pro Bowl type players like Brady has.
Right. And, I mean, you know, he's not walking into, like, a garbage system either. They had a very good offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's just they had Jameis Winston throwing 30 touchdowns and 30 picks every year. So. Right.
But I just don't know, you know. Like, and of course, everything I've seen, it seems like he's happy and it seems like he's doing well. But you don't really know until he gets out on the field.
Yeah, and that's what makes this matchup so intriguing, is that Brady's first time out on the field, out on the big stage, is going to be against a really, really, like, comparable quarterback in terms of all-time, like, accolades and achievements and just skill.
Yeah. Yeah, and not only that, he's going up against a very good defense. The Saints' defense is very solid, especially their secondary.
Yeah, and that's really why I'm going to be watching this game with my eyes glued to it. I mean, it's going to be great, and I think that it's really going to signify to me that football is back, because those are the type of games that I watch football for.
Yeah, I just want to see what happens. Yeah. I just want to see how Brady plays in Tampa Bay. On the other side of that, I think the debut I'm more excited for is Cam Newton debuting his Patriots skills.
Yeah, me too. It seems like Belichick and Cam Newton are getting along really well, which is kind of
Something that I didn't expect. Yeah, like, something that I did not expect to happen is to see Cam Newton be the most humble guy on the field. Like, everything that I've read from practice is that, like, he never had the idea that he had the starting job. He was, like, every day he was working for the starting job. And, like, as soon as he came to New England, we all knew that he was going to be a starter.
Yeah, old Jared Stidham's not starting.
Everything that Cam said in training camps was that he was still competing for the practice job, or for the starting job. And you know, all of his teammates were saying that he was always the first one in, last one out. And I think that, like, that's something that I definitely didn't expect. I mean, I love Cam Newton, and I think he's a great guy, but I didn't expect him to be, like, you know, turn into Brady all of a sudden, you know what I mean? Just go complete radio silence and, you know, be, like, the second name guy. Like, you know, it's weird to see, but it's also really encouraging.
Right. I think that was definitely something that he got harped on a lot in his, you know, earlier days with the Panthers, is kind of a lack of effort. I don't know if you remember when they were playing that Super Bowl against the Broncos. At a really crucial time, he got the ball stripped from him, and he kind of just watched it fall and watched Denver recover it. And a lot of people were like, where's his effort? And it's been something that's been questioned a lot, but seeing him and hearing about him, like, working as hard as he as hard as he is and being the first guy there and the last guy out, I guess it does make sense why him and Belichick are getting along so well, because those are the kind of guys that Belichick wants on his team. And if Cam is really dedicated to being a great quarterback, I can see nothing but success in the future.
Yeah, I mean, it's just wild to see that he, like, will be playing the Patriots brand of football, which is just shut up and do your job. And, like, that's not something that I expected from Cam Newton.
Yeah, when he Cam Newton used to, like, dance in players' faces, like, after he scored touchdowns.
And I'm sure he'll still be doing that.
Absolutely. I don't 100%. Think Belichick would be too happy to see things like that.
Oh, man. Dude, Edelman does that, and it looks ridiculous. That tiny little white dude dancing in someone's face is ridiculous. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't want to see him lose any of that fire, but, like, it's... I don't know. I did not expect him. I expected him to come in and be, you know, MVP Superman Cam, but he came in and it seemed like he was just some, like, no-name quarterback that we picked up out of, like, Eastern Europe or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I guess that's really what you want to see from Cam Newton. You don't want to see him come in, like, kind of strutting in, being like, yeah, I'm the new starter here. Like, I'm taking over Tom Brady. He really wants to earn it, and he wants to work for it. Because it's a really tall order to follow the greatest quarterback ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it's something that we want to see from a Patriots player. Like, not necessarily Cam Newton, but, like, anytime a guy comes into the Patriots, we want to see him adapt to that and adopt that lifestyle and role on the team of just being another teammate, you know?
Another cog.
right. But that's what it is. I mean, it's just another piece in the Belichick machine that is destined for greatness.
Yeah, you make him sound like an evil monster.
Well, he kind of is.
Yeah, he is.
He's a little bit. He's the dark emperor. He's a little bit of an evil mastermind.
Yeah, he's kind of like Darth Sidious, I think, and Brady was like Darth Vader. Bit.
Yeah, but now it's Cam. Now it's Cam. Cam's like Kylo Ren, I guess. Yeah.
Well, okay.
I think if he went anywhere else, he might have still stuck with that kind of attitude of him, you know, being the main dude. But under Belichick, I just didn't expect it to happen that quickly, him to become that kind of quarterback just pretty much overnight.
Yeah, and hopefully this is something that we continue to see from him. You know, hopefully it's not an initial thing and he continues to really strive to be the greatest he can be. And I'm so excited to see them play this year.
I just want to see him on the field. Like, that's what I'm so excited about, is to see how he plays on the field.
Yeah, so that all that stuff's going to happen this Sunday, which we're both really excited for, and we can't wait to cover it all.
Yeah, and not only that, but cover it every Sunday, Thursday, and Monday after that. And we're very excited. I mean, we're very excited to cover football, very excited for the return of football. But we got to get into what we really, really want to talk about, which is the fact that the playoffs are coming down to it.
The NBA
playoffs are really getting into gear. We're starting to see the matchups for the conference finals come into fruition. Obviously, the Eastern Conference Finals is locked up now. You got the Miami Heat on one side coming off obviously a hot streak for the Heat. I mean, they're playing out of their minds.
Yeah, what is going on with the Heat? What did they start eating in the bubble that just turned them into the Monstars?
It's ridiculous, dude. Like, I probably would have picked them, like, coming into this series. I probably would have picked them to beat the Bucks, but not 4-1.
Yeah, right. I mean, they made Giannis and the Bucks look like some chumps. The fact that the Bucks won, the only game that they won was when Giannis wasn't playing. I mean, dude, that's so bad, man. He's the MVP and the Defensive Player of the Year, and his team literally performed better when he wasn't playing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like I said, man, they did the same thing that the Raptors did last year, which is just limit Giannis.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. Every time he's on the court, he commands the court, and if you stop him, the Bucks have nothing.
Yeah, they really swarmed the paint. And if you don't let Giannis get those big old steps started, then he's you kind of
Yeah,
render
he's
him
done. He's
useless.
useless.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I just the fact that their offense was as on as it was, that is the intangible for me that like made them like uncategoric. Like they have been so good, I really just can't put a pin in it. Like I don't know what's going on.
And that is exactly why the Boston Celtics are going to win this game, because the Heat have to fall out of orbit at some point. They got, I mean,
Maybe.
dude, no way they can sustain that. I feel like they, at some point they gotta cool down. They are not a great 3-point shooting team in the regular season, and they've been shooting out of their minds during the
Yeah.
playoffs. So I think we'll see them kind of fall back to earth, hopefully, when they play the Celtics.
Maybe. I mean, obviously, the Celtics have incredible perimeter defense, and the Heat, I mean, the Heat are susceptible to that. They have a lot of perimeter shooters and a lot of guys that, have trouble getting in and getting a mid-range shot or a drive. But they also have a player that is playing to the absolute peak of his performance and is very good at getting a mid-range shot off or getting a drive, and that's Jimmy friggin' Buckets, man.
Yeah. I think
He
that
is he's the playoff MVP, 100%. He's absolutely amazing.
yeah, he's really been, helping carry this Heat team all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. But I do think that the Celtics match up really well against the Heat. They have a lot of really athletic wings that can guard a bunch of different guys, and I really do think that the Celtics can limit what the Heat do well. And hopefully, if it all goes to plan, the Celtics will be in the NBA Finals. And no
No, I
disrespect
agree.
to the Heat. No disrespect to the Heat. They're a great team, and this playoff run blew my mind. I had no idea, but still, I think it's going to come to an end this series.
I completely agree. I think the Celtics match up really well. I but the thing about the Celtics that worries me is that they took the Raptors to seven games.
Yeah, I just feel like that was a really gritty series. Like, the Raptors are a really gritty team, and they're coached really well, and it's so much about momentum, and it's one shot away from being a sweep. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Well, they're a great team. I
yeah.
mean, like the Raptors are a great team. Don't
They
get it
are.
twisted. Like they lost Kawhi, but they are still a great team. And they played their freaking hearts out. That Anunoby shot was phenomenal. I mean,
Yeah,
Jesus
but
Christ, I can't remember the last time I saw a 3-point buzzer beater with 0.5 seconds left on the clock.
yeah, it was pretty incredible.
That's insane.
But I do think that regardless, the Boston Celtics were they played better and they were the better team. I think so. At the end of the day, the Raptors are not as good as the Celtics, and I think
I
that the
agree.
same holds true with the Celtics and the Heat. I think that at the end of the day, the Celtics are the better team than the Heat, and I think that they will prove that. But I definitely think that it's going to be a really grinded out series. And,
Yeah.
if the Celtics do slip up, then the Heat will capitalize on that. So it's going to be
Yep.
really crucial for all of the stars, including Kemba, who did not play very well this last series.
He played pretty well defensively,
Yeah,
which I
he
was pretty
did.
happy
But
about.
I really wanted more from him on offense. He looked kind of
Yeah.
tentative, with his shot and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you that the Raptors were certainly not up to par with the Celtics, but that is what worries me. I mean, what worries me is the fact that the Raptors took them to seven games. Like I expected that series to be, over in six tops, but they took them to seven and it was close. I mean, Marcus Smart was That block was like that was the tipping point. That's what won the Celtics the series, and that
Yeah.
came late in game seven.
Marcus Smart
And so,
channeling his inner LeBron James there, huh?
yeah, I mean, he was about 2 inches away from just fouling him and possibly, losing that game. But I mean, it's like it worries me. It just worries me that the like what it makes me think of is just inexperience. I mean, genuinely, like they don't have that much experience with playoff basketball. I don't think they know what it takes to close out a series and do it effectively. And that worries me going up against a Heat team that is very efficient in closing out series.
Okay, all I'm trying to say is Jason Tatum's been to the conference finals two of his first three seasons. I'm done. Mic drop. Celtics in six.
Okay, well that's not that big of a call, man. Celtics in six. All right. But I mean, I could I think the Celtics are going to win. I love the Celtics. I want to see them in the finals.
Yes,
And
they should
I
be in
think
the
they're going to
finals.
win. I think they're going to win. And I mean, it would be so great to see a Lakers Celtics finals.
Yes.
That would be so great. That would
So
be great
great.
for basketball. That'd be huge for the fans, great for the bubble. I
And
mean,
especially great for me.
yeah. All right. Yeah, certainly great for every Celtics fan out there. And but I mean, like the thing that worries me is that I don't think that the Celtics are that clutch in the playoffs. At least not this season.
Yeah, that it's a good thing that it won't go to the seventh game, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see.
It might.
I think that the performance that Jimmy Butler is going to give is going to be a couple steps ahead of the performance that Jason Tatum is going to give. I mean, Jimmy's playing for more in my eyes.
Yeah, that might be true, but I think that the production that we see from Jaylen Brown will be better than anyone else not named Jimmy Butler on the Heat.
Yeah,
And I just
I
think
agree.
that our supporting pieces are better, and I really do believe in this team. I think that Brad Stevens is going to take us to the NBA Finals, and hey, we might get swept, but we're there. You guys are watching
No, I mean,
us.
I completely agree. Like I agree that when it comes to anyone else on the Celtics matched up to anyone else on the Heat, it's Celtics all day.
Yeah.
Kemba is miles ahead of any guard that the Heat have. Jaylen Brown is obviously going to do an absolute number on them, especially on the interior.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown's gonna be dunking on Tyler Hero all series.
And I mean, I think it would really be interesting. I think it's going to be very, very fun to watch the Celtics play defense on the Heat. I think we're going to see a lot of steals and a lot of blocks.
I think so too. I think we're I just really think that we match up well. I mean, we have guys that can guard a bunch of different positions and we can switch on screen and roles and all of our guys move really well and they're athletic and
Yeah.
I really like this team. I
It's a
believe in
great
them.
team.
I believe in them and hopefully they get to the finals.
Yeah. Well, I mean, either way, I'm super excited to watch the series. So over on the Western Conference side, both semifinal series are still going on, but they both also kind of look pretty wrapped up.
The Heat, or not the Heat, sorry, my mind's on the Heat, but the Lakers are basically through against the Rockets. I don't think that the Rockets are really gonna do anything down 3-1 right now.
Yeah, no. No way.
And the Clippers, they did lose this last game against the Nuggets, making the series 3-2, but I think that next game, the Clippers will probably take the series and advance to the conference finals. Which this would set up the conference finals that we've been waiting for, which are the two LA teams.
Yeah, I mean, the Clippers obviously are in a worse situation right now. I think that the Lakers are going to take the next game against the Rockets, and they're going to beat them pretty handily 4-1. But if the Clippers lose this game, man, it's a game seven. I mean, it'll be another game seven. We've had a few game sevens so far.
Yeah, and also no team has come back down 3-1 twice in a playoff series, and if the Nuggets can push this to seven, I mean, game sevens are a toss-up. Like, whether you believe it or not, they are. It's anyone's game from there.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. I mean, and the Nuggets have proved that they have a lot of heart.
Yeah, I mean,
I
they
mean,
did
they.
come back down 3-1.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's tough thinking about going back-to-back game sevens, I mean, back-to-back seven game series, like that's rough.
Yeah, that's pretty grueling on any team, but I don't think that this is gonna go seven. Do you like I feel like the
Well,
Clippers will
it's
probably
just
close
one
it
like
out.
they're one game away from pushing it to seven, and I think that's the mindset that they need coming into this next game is that
yeah,
they
just
need
win
to
the
push
next
it to
one.
seven.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't need to think about winning them both. They just need to think about winning this game and pushing it to seven, because, like you said, a game seven is a toss-up. And, I mean, if they push it to seven, they have a real chance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if they do go to seven, and even if the Clippers do win, that's just more so of a toll that it's going to take on the Clippers once they face
the
Lakers.
Yeah, conference finals.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're going to be mentally and physically exhausted. They just played a seven-game series. And,
right.
You know, the Lakers will have just beat the Rockets in five and gotten plenty of rest. So, hopefully the Clippers can close this out early so we can get, you know, I guess you could say a fair matchup against the two teams.
Yeah.
But it could very easily go seven games and the Clippers could be in trouble.
Sure. I mean, but we'll see. And the conference finals are going to be pretty crazy, man. I mean, like, on the Eastern side, it's going to be fun to watch. But I think watching, you know, Clippers-Lakers in the conference finals, that's going to be must-watch basketball.
Yeah, I literally have no idea who's going to win that series.
Yeah,
if those two teams
crazy.
End up playing, I'm just throwing my hands up and watching the game and just being like, okay, that's, yep.
Yeah, that's an absolutely huge series. Absolutely, like, God, that's going to be so much fun to watch.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, just a lot of storylines come with that series. You know, we got guys like Kawhi, who just left a championship team to, you know, go where he always wanted to go, it seems like, to LA and start his legacy there. And we have Paul George, who, you know, infamously cannot win in the playoffs, like potentially having the shot of going to the NBA Finals. And then, of course, on the other side, we have LeBron chasing Michael Jordan and, you know, a young AD. We can see what he'll really do in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I wouldn't say either team has an edge anymore, at least. Like, when the bubble first started, I could see a very clear edge with the Clippers with depth. But the Lakers have Rondo back. And
Rondo's playing
been,
out of his mind.
Yeah, knocking down three-pointers.
Yeah,
like it's
what?
Nothing better than
what
Danny Green.
In?
Like, Jesus Christ, I can't believe it. I can't believe that Rajon Rondo is wetting three-pointers like he's Seth Curry.
I know. It doesn't even make
sense. It's crazy,
man.
It's crazy. But I just think that the main problem the Lakers had, the main thing that was making me think that the Clippers had it if they match up in the conference finals, was depth. And now that they have Rondo and he's playing like he's playing, it's genuinely like there's no edge on either side.
Yeah,
like they're both completely evenly matched in my eyes.
Yeah, I have no idea like who is going to pull ahead or who's going to win this, like even less so who's going to win the series. But I just like even looking at the matchups, I don't even know. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just I'm as excited as everyone else is.
Yeah. It's a very exciting time to be a basketball fan. This is one of the most exciting playoffs that I've ever experienced, genuinely.
Yeah, thank God that the NBA managed to restart their league in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, not enough can be said about that. And I'm so thankful for that every day because I can just go out and go out in my living room and watch basketball. And it's so great because I've missed that for so long, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, man. Enjoy seeing it, especially when there's every single major American sport on TV at the same time.
Yes, sir. College football comes back, too. It's just a great, great time. I'm so happy that all the leagues are back.
Yeah, me too, man. All right, well, what do we got coming up, man? We got the conference finals. We got week one of the NFL.
We got week one of college football.
Soon. Week one of college football. There'll be more disc golf highlights, I'm sure. And a very, very fun time, very exciting time, and we're excited to cover it.
With that being said, we want to thank you guys all very much for listening, and we're going to sign off.
Make sure to check us out on our website, lazybums.com. com. Just search that up on Google and you'll find us. Listen to us on Spotify, and if you don't have Spotify, listen to us on Apple Music and pretty much anywhere else that there's podcasts. You can check us out on YouTube, and you can support us on our Patreon and also on our Anchor. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Peace.